Welcome to Big Natural Talents. Well, hello, BNTinis. It's your girlies, Lauren Boner and Conchetta Core Hosto.
Core Hosto.
Lauren, can I just say something I realized? In the last time we recorded these episodes, perhaps potentially 2 weeks ago, we were both like, honestly, like rock bottom vibe, especially me. I can speak for myself. I was like, you've got me in a downswing, babe. Like, it's all come crashing down. Can I say 2 weeks later, which so I'm at the end of my 2 week break from Breakfast Radio, I'm actually feeling quite good. And I look quite fondly at these 2 weeks. I think I really needed it. And I just want to say I'm grateful for it. I've just realized I'm feeling a bit happier. And I guess that's what a holiday can do for someone. Far out.
Gratitude.
You know?
It is. It's not, yeah, it's revolutionary that some time off work is nice. But actually then, you got to be careful. Come swing back around. Too much time off work, then you become like me. And so that's why I'd say actually this week I did have to work most of the week. And I had to like attend an office for some seminars and things like that. And I am feeling good this weekend. So maybe it's actually all about balance.
Yeah.
And that's the secret to life, is to working a bit and then not working for a bit and then going to the shops. And because we went to the shops yesterday, so maybe that's also a kind
it
of
is,
riding that
it is.
High.
I'm wearing the pants. I'm Did you wearing the
oh,
pants,
yeah,
babe.
Pants.
I'm wearing them. I wore them out. Ben loved them. I've got so many little things to say.
Okay.
So I just want to get into them. One. So today, it's like our Saturday tradition. We go out and get like a coffee together, especially after Breakfast Radio, where I won't see him all mornings. It's like, yay, we get one morning to go for a walk. So that's what we did this morning, where I wore the pants. And I just realized something. So I get a large oat chai latte, okay? And there is this girly who makes the coffees. And I'm telling you, I've tried chai lattes in so many different places. Yes, we got it at Starbucks yesterday, and that actually will be my second favorite. But everywhere I go, I hate the chai lattes. It doesn't hit right. I don't love it. It's this one place, this one cafe, which is a strip of so many. This one girl makes them that they're perfect. Like, they're unbelievable. It's so hard that every time I try a chai latte, I'm like, nah, this sucks. Anyways, then we went midweek, and the girl wasn't there. I'm at the same place, but a guy made the a guy barista made it.
Didn't have a woman's
It didn't start. Taste good. It was bland. And I was like, Ben, my whole like relationship with chai lattes rests on this one woman. Like, this is like an unhealthy, you know, like parasocial. Like, imagine if this girl just quit or moved, or I would just stop having chai lattes for the rest of my... Isn't that so interesting to think about? It all hangs in the balance on this one woman who has no idea.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That was my next question. Does she know? Does she know how important she is to you?
But I tell her, thank you, and she's like, I love her coffees. Like, should I ask for a number? And just like in the way that people follow their like hairdresser or their nail artist?
Yeah. You can like recommend it. I mean, a few notes on this. The first one I'd say is the chai latte. The reason you're having such varied experiences all over the place is because like the flavor really comes down to what chai powder or tea or whatever they're using. And sometimes you order a chai latte and they're like brewing tea and like doing stuff. No, I wanted the sugar powder. Yeah. Thanks. Secondly, I'm thinking like this must be like what celebs do. You know how like a celebrity is like, they like went to this island in Greece and they loved this restaurant so much they hired them to be their personal chef.
Yes.
You know? If you're a celebrity, I mean, if you're a bigger celebrity than you are now, you could be like, quit your job, girl. You're coming with me.
You're going to
be
on tour.
My team. You're coming on. You're coming on tour. You're coming to the Melbourne Comedy Festival.
You're going to be with me at ABC in Ultimo, babe.
You're going to come with me to Ultimo 5 days a week. And then a few times a year, we're going to go on a Sydney Comedy Festival roadshow to some regional towns.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. So that's one thing. Can I say another thing? Ben and I, we're spending more time together. Ben on the holiday, how exciting. A lot of it, we've been watching lots of TV together at night. Obviously, the best season 2 blew our backs out. Unbelievable. Then, one night, mm-hmm. Ben for once didn't have a gig. I'm at home. We finished TV. And he was like, what should we do? And I was like, I don't feel like launching into a new TV show. And I said, can we play a game? And he laughed at me. And then I got down this box, which has like a bunch of board games and shit in it. And one of the games is this game that was sent to me by, like, I don't know, on Instagram, like, ages ago from someone who's like, hey, like, must have known of me, like, through circles, because someone in their other circles made a card game. And it's literally two different boxes of cards. One is scenario and one is location. And all you do is you pick two cards and it'll be like going to the toilet. So like that's the action. And then the location is on Broadway and you have to charades it. Like, but, and at the beginning we thought we'd be like, okay, break it down. Location. And then act that out. And then you do that. And it's like, no, it's way more fun when you like literally do a scene. So it's fucking basically improv. And Ben and I did that for like an hour together at night. Like, that. Can you imagine? No TVs on, no music. Ben and I playing charades. And then we're like, well, time to go to bed. It was, honestly, you know when people are like, what's your favorite thing to do? It's shit like that. Like, all I want to do, I could literally never go to a fucking party for the rest of my life if I could just do activities and, like, be present with the people that I care about. It felt so wholesome. It's like, did we want to have sex? Nah. Did we want to play charades? Yep.
You pull out the cards and it's like making love in your bed and you're like, oh, next card. Taming a lion at a shopping center.
Now this one I can do.
Okay. That is funny. I mean, it's kind of normal-ish, like, to play. I mean,
okay,
me and Alex play like video games. That's, but different. No, it's something way funnier about like just complete silence, like TV off, music off, lamp on, a couple in the house playing charades for a full hour.
It's like 50s vibes, you know?
Yeah, it's like kind of apocalypse. I feel like actually if there was a scenario where like everyone had to like go into an apocalypse bunker and like hide out for ages, you would not go crazy or like even like notice for like weeks and weeks. Like everyone would be like going like, when are we gonna get out of here? And you'd be like in the corner like playing Snakes and Ladders like you've never experienced something so good in your life.
That's so funny. Okay, over to you.
I mean, I had a few things go on. I had my first red carpet experience.
Yes, go off Elvis premiere.
I think it was. Anyway, I went to the Elvis musical premiere. A few things on that. It was pretty funny because it was like, because it was like the opening night. So it's like only media or whatever, or like guest list. And so you think like, okay, celebrities. Absolutely. I did. Like, I mustn't know like who's a celebrity these days, because there was a lot of people who were like very well-groomed. Couldn't tell you who they were. Just like influencers. Actually, there was one guy and I was like, that guy's hot. Like, everyone's taking photos of him. He must be someone. I looked it up later. I saw later that it was Axel Whitehead.
Oh my God.
Do you remember?
Yes. He's like an old presenter, right?
I think so.
And he like canceled or something for doing something at an award show. Like, I can't remember if he showed his ass or he said like cunt or something.
He did.
Exposing himself.
He flashed at the Arias.
Like his cock? Like what?
Yeah, which part?
He had a big career, dude. He hosted Australian Idol.
I wonder what his like taxable income for last year was. You know?
That's so funny. So true.
I just wonder. But he actually, if he does voiceovers and stuff.
Yeah, huge.
He's actually probably like has a bigger career than we'll ever have combined. Like, he's probably an icon in the industry, and this will get back to him, and our careers in turn will end for this moment of doubting Axel Whitehead. Whoa! Okay, can you just show me a red carpet photo of just like full, like no pants, like full dick out?
Wait, is that really him?
That's crazy.
That doesn't look like him.
That's a pretty big...
I don't think that's him. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I think that is not him.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Do your own research on the flashing incident. That was not him.
No.
And we here at BNTHQ reserve no rights in...
But that's...
I don't know what to say legally.
That's so annoying because I Googled Axel Whitehead and so then you see that and you put it together. Mm. But that was not him. Anyway, so who else did you see? What else happened?
Actually, I saw a friend of the show, Richard Reed, Mr. Hollywood.
Oh, he's the best.
And he was slaying. You could tell he was at home on the carpet. Mr. Charisma. Camera loves him. I also saw a friend of the show, Charlotte Chimes.
Go off, Queenie.
And that was about all I recognized. That was like, it's the only people that I would ever recognize in an event are people who have specifically appeared on our podcast.
Totally. So, did you ever get overwhelmed? Like, I get really overwhelmed at those things.
It wasn't like that bad because I think like no one was, I don't know. It was kind of disorganized. And also like we had to like line up for ages. Like it was like, I was like, oh, do I get like to go on a special line? Because I have like the media invitation. And they were like, no, everyone is the same. And I was like, really?
Yeah.
But it was fine. I mean, that's that. That's that on that, really.
It's just there's exciting. The girlie went on a red carpet. Go off.
Yeah. And I got to go to the after party and there were free drinks. And that's nice, you know.
That's nice.
It is nice.
I don't even know if I've been to one of those.
Yeah. It was actually, I mean, the craziest thing was, you know, when you think free drinks, you think beer and wine. They actually had like free, like,
no,
vodka martinis.
Oh my God.
It was like really dangerous and sickening.
That's amazing.
And it shouldn't be allowed. But that's boring. I have some gossipy kind of stuff, so I don't know if I should wait.
Yeah, maybe let me throw one more thing at you.
Yeah.
When Ben and I went to Perth, Ben bought this book in the airport and he read it on the plane and it changed his life. And it's called Ikigai, spelled I-K-I-G-A-I. It's like a book on like the Japanese philosophy of like being happy. It's like about happiness and wellness, and it's like quite a small book.
Yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah.
And Ben read it, and firstly there's like two parts of the story. The first part is Ben read the book, he thought it was amazing, but the one thing that stood out to him so much that like blew his mind, and I think that it is a well-known philosophy in the Western world, but he doesn't, and I'd like to know if you've heard of it. It's called The Key to Happiness and Also Health is Eating Till You're 80% Full and Stopping. Have you heard of this concept?
I think I've heard of that. And I don't know if I've ever done that. I've only ever eaten until I'm 110% full.
Yes.
Totally. I've heard of that. But also, I think for someone like Ben, he doesn't seem like an overeater. I don't know. You know him. He eats a lot because he like goes to the gym 100 times a day. But does he ever eat so much that he's like, oh,
all
and I can't?
The time. He's like, he eats till he feels sick. He also has this obsession that I realize is like, he has to finish whatever is on the plate, finishing everything, which I think is like very universal. We have this like drilled into our heads. And then you like, when you learn about like eating stuff, it's kind of like, no, you are not beholden to that. That is not healthy eating. And then like, I'm sorry to quote like bad guy Louis C.K., but Ben's brother said this at dinner when he was like, the Louis C.K. quote is, I don't eat till I'm full. I stop eating when I hate myself. Oh, I just butchered that, but like he deserves that. So it's something like that. It's like, that's what we're all doing. And so we had this 80% thing. He's like eating till 80%. So then we became really mindful on the trip and we felt way better. Cause it's so nice. Like when you're like, don't feel sick. And then you like want to go do something. But then this happened where he'd read the book that day. Then that night, Lauren, we went to this like taco restaurant that like had really great reviews.
What are you going to do? Not eat every taco you can?
Well, that's exactly it. So we see the menu and there's like all these tacos and we don't really want much else. And we say to the lady, we're like, yeah, so we'd like, I think we wanted like four tacos each. Because I thought they'd, like you always pick tacos, they're tiny, small.
Yeah.
And we said this to the lady and she was like, it became this huge thing. She, like, became really frightened and scared. She was like, no, I don't think you should. She's like, four, like, eight tacos. She was like, no, that's too, no. And her, like, couldn't compute. And she was kind of like, that might be too much. And we were like, no, I think we'll be good. Like, I felt myself be so, like, pushing back on, like, yeah, don't tell me what I want. Like,
how much did they cost? How much was it per taco?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I don't know that fact.
But like, that's how you determine the size of the taco.
Oh, really? Okay, what's the cost of small and what's the cost of big range?
Depends kind of where you are. I'm going to say like $5-ish per taco. You're comfortably eating three to four. But if it was like $12 per taco, then I'm thinking they're a bigger taco.
Yeah, they may have been in that world for sure. Yeah, maybe even more. And so we like had this awkward kind of thing with the lady where like she was recommending, because there's so many times where, especially when you go in a fancy Italian restaurant, and Ben and I will want to get a pasta entree and a pasta main, and people are always like, no. And then you're like, eat it. And you're like, I want the two pastas. Like, I don't want to leave here and not have tried both pastas. Like, don't tell me what to do. This is my one night out. Like, blah, blah, blah.
And also, often if you order like ravioli or gnocchi, okay, for some reason you can order pasta. They'll give you a normal size bowl of pasta, usually still not big enough, but that's neither here nor there. But you order gnocchi or ravioli, they think that they can give you literally five raviolis.
Yeah,
or
and, like, they say, good luck.
Good luck. And like a single layer of gnocchis on the plate. Like there's like just a fine layer of gnocchis. And it's like, why do you, like what's going on here? Anyway.
Totally. So that was the interaction of like, she was like really thrown and scared. And we pushed back and was like, no, we're going to commit. And then honey, these tacos came out. I don't think I've seen a more packed taco in my life. Like, they were maybe, like, that medium size, small to medium size, but they were, like, beyond full. Like, it was, like, to me, it was honestly too much. Too much. It's the way I feel about a burger, where it's, like, the burger doesn't need to be 15 stories high for it to be yummy. Classic burger literally should fit in the palm of my hand, and it can pack all the flavor and deliciousness, and I don't need it to be a separate thing. You have to put a sword through it to keep it together so it doesn't fucking fall over. I'm so angry at that concept. So that's where I was like, these tacos are so full. Lauren, it was like, we had the first one, then the second one, fine. That's where we should have stopped. Third came out, we're like, oh, we're pushing it. The fourth, we were sick. And we were like, had considered getting a salad. And we were like, thank God we didn't get the salad. And we had this entree of some fucking, that roll thing, is it carpaccio, whatever. We left, we got out and we were like, she was right. Like, we're such idiots. And we went up to, we tried to find her, but we didn't find her. So we found this other server. And he said, how was it really? It was so good. And we were like, we have to tell you, we were wrong. That lady told us this, and we are so full, and we're so stupid, and we're wrong. And the guy said, you know what? This is so rare. Customers never, ever admit that they're wrong, so I'll let her know. And we walked out sick.
Every day, customers come in here and they order, and we tell them don't. Because it's hard. You don't, like, be a judge. It would, as a waiter, I would really struggle, because I am also someone who, like, I don't know, there's two, it depends on the kind of restaurant, okay? I would always rather overorder than underorder.
Yeah.
But also I say that, but like I've never underordered in my life.
Wait, but I was going to say, don't you and think
you
can, it's smarter?
You can always order more. So it is actually smarter to underorder.
It's smarter to underorder. I was like, why do we believe we overorder as if the kitchen closes immediately? It's like, we should have ordered two. And then we're like, and then if you want more, you say, can we have more? Like, it's crazy to go the other way. And then you literally, I said, have you seen the movie Seven? For anyone who's seen the movie Seven, I felt like the gluttony one, which is like, you've got to see this movie. It's unbelievable. It's like crazy. It's about the seven deadly sins, which you know we adhere to as women of the Lord.
Yeah, if you listen to our last episode, we've taken a pretty sharp turn to move into the light, to move into his light. And, that's where we're at. So
anyway, so why that was so funny is Ben's like, I can't believe I read a book about eating till 80%, literally being like, that's life changing. And then that night eating till 150%. So that's my story. Something to think about.
That is interesting. I mean, I recently, like, there's a really good Indian restaurant in Sydney. I mean, I'll shout it out. I love Chatkas in Harris Park. It's in Sydney's like west near Parramatta.
Amazing.
It's like little India there. If you live in Sydney and you've never been there, like, stop what you're doing. Drop your spoon of broth or gruel that you're eating. Go there now. I feel like a gentrifier. I don't want, you know, let's, you know, maybe like one white person at a time should go there. But anyway, Chuckers, and they have a lot of street food. They kind of like get called like Indian McDonald's, and that's like a title that like they embrace as well.
Oh, amazing.
So we know they have like so many like exciting little things, and like anytime I go there, like if I like leave, because it's like a half hour drive, if I like leave that suburb like without like literally wanting to throw up, I feel like I've wasted my time. But the last time we were there, we still really overordered, and I still absolutely ate until like I was very full. But I think I ate until I was like 100% full.
Okay.
And I was like walking away, and I was like, I'm like really proud of myself for like
my restraint.
Yeah. And it's like after I ate like, you know, the two entrees and the side and the two curries and like the rice, and I actually only ate like 3/4 of my whole piece of naan bread, and there was like a little bit left, and I said, Alex, you have that, because I'm full and I'm kind of a tiny little girl. Yeah, I guess maybe we should all try to under order, because you can just order more.
You can order more. Just try it. Even just one day, try it, I guess.
I get stressed going out with a big group though, because like I'm pretty great at knowing like what we should order for the table. I love doing that. But it's like hard to balance that with like social etiquette. And then a lot of foods, like if it's like Thai or like Indian, like you want to share stuff. Mm. Oh my God, this is funny. You did this the other day, but you were kind of joking. You were joking. And also it doesn't make sense. It doesn't matter to me.
I was joking, like, but I was fully also serious, because that's the one time I was like, it's my birthday. I'm allowed to be like, this is for me. This is mine. There is one meal on that I'm like, I want a full one to myself. Everything else is shared. Get whatever you want. If you want this too, order it. Order it, babe.
I think that's different to ordering a bunch of stuff at the table, and then you're like, I really am going to, like, you just say up front, I want to eat like a lot, almost this. So if we want more, we should just order two.
Yeah.
That's bold. But you know, when you go to like Thai or Indian or food that is traditionally shared, and someone's like, I just want my own thing. I just want this one thing for myself. Or like pizza. One of my friends always does that. She just wanted her own specific pizza. And I was like, can I like try one slice of it? Like, and we're all vegetarian too. It's not even a dietary thing.
Wow.
It's like, you're just being crazy.
Yeah. And in the end, like I did let Aaliyah have some, like it feels psycho to like have your own thing and to not share, especially if it's like different to the rest of the table. But also that night of my birthday dinner, there was four of us. I was so caring about everyone eating that I ate to 80%. Isn't that awesome? Like that could have blown out, but truly from like social etiquette and pressure, and just that my need for like, I would freak out if anyone left like starving and didn't get a good night. I think I ate just right, which is like unheard of.
It's good to do.
Should we go to goss?
Well, yeah. Well, and this is food goss too. Food-ish goss. And also I want to preface this goss with, I think it's like a quirky and curious case that we're all thinking about, but three people are dead. One person is critically injured, and that is a tragedy, and it's sad, and it's current, and it's not a historical case. So it is very,
babe.
And you think, I think I know that you know what I'm talking about.
Well, babe, if you're talking what I think you're talking about, is this this mushroom story?
This is the mushroom poisoning.
Okay, you need to let me speak. So for the first I've heard of this is last night at the Caution birthday dinner for Ben and I, because they've been in Europe while during our birthdays. And literally someone started talking like, they're dead. And the mushroom, and I felt immediately crazy. I was like, what are you all talking about? What I had to ask Ben 4 times, because he wouldn't stop. He was like, thought it was rude because I just interrupted. But I was like, it is heresy that everyone is talking about something that I have no fucking clue what you're talking about. And then they were like, there's this news story about this woman. And they gave me the quick rundown. But I just need you to know, I have not heard of this.
Yeah.
People already know that news finds it hard to get to me already in my day-to-day life. But specifically the past 2 weeks where I've deleted all social media, I'm not looking at the news. I'm not looking at my phone as much anymore. I had no idea about this story. I could have turned up to work on Monday, and that would have been the first thing I heard about it back in my job where I have
got to catch up.
Can you take it away?
Yeah.
Go off.
Can I also say, I found it so funny and interesting that just then, the way you described like how you don't know what's happening in the news, you placed like the agency and blame on the news itself.
Yeah.
You said that news finds it hard to get to me. as if the news is an entity and it is the responsibility of the news to kind of make its way to each person, make itself known and apparent, and make the time. The news needs to make the time to get to talk to you.
The news needs to, like, network better or something to get to me.
The news needs to work harder. That's actually, it reminds me of, like, I saw, like, someone on Reddit where, like, I don't know, it was a COVID thing. And people, some people who were being really crazy on Reddit, and they were like, the public messaging has just not been clear about what it is. And it was, this was like 2 weeks ago. And I'm like, no, you cannot blame the news for this. If someone did not know that you should, when you, yeah, it's been a while. Anyway. But this is a pretty fresh story-ish. And can I also do a shout-out? I'm going to acknowledge a source for this story, because there's a lot of news out there about this mushroom poisoning. And I wanted to acknowledge the Age writer. His name is John Sylvester. I've just recently discovered him. He's their crime columnist. He's also written a book. And I can just tell how much fun he's having in the writing. And I'll give you an example. So the title of the article that I recommend you read by John is Deadly Mushrooms, Mysteries, and the Curious Cops.
That's like a storybook. That's great.
He's loving it. And the opening paragraph is, rumors and mushrooms need much the same environment to thrive.
Oh!
They must be kept in the dark and fed bull dust. And there's been no shortage of the latter coming from many quarters.
Whoa, that's punch-in-the-face journalism of the 50s. That's shocking.
That is journalism. That is what we are missing in our generation of slay queen writing that we read on the news, okay? And John is the last of the
bastion,
best,
you know.
The last of the golden class of journos that I could only dream to be under his tutelage someday. So thank you. Shouts out to John, honorary girly. I know you're listening.
Can we just manifest, like, surely there's like a connection someone has, like John's someone's friend's uncle. Imagine him coming on the pod. Like,
yeah.
Come
on. Does anyone know John Sylvester, crime reporter? Maybe we should.
We could.
He's got to be around. Actually, I can already see it. I can already feel your manager texting you after this saying, babe, I know John. He's actually friends with my husband's cousin. My kids go to his school. I've already called him.
I would love that. Oh, my God. Please, fingers crossed.
Out. Absolutely. She knows everyone and anyone, so... but anyway, so this case of the mushrooms is what's basically happened is this woman, Erin Pattinson, she had her ex-husband's parents. So think of like the parents were separated. They've got kids together. So they're still like her kids' grandparents, your ex-in-laws. You've probably known them for many years.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are like kind of balking at that, having your like ex-partner's parents over, your ex-in-laws or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think that alone is that strange.
Okay.
Like it's, she's probably known them forever. They're her kids' grandparents.
Yeah.
Whatever. So she's also had the in-laws' sister and her husband. So the kid's like great aunt and uncle, and the great uncle, just to add to this kind of Agatha Christie energy, is also a reverend.
Wow.
And so she had them over for what has been described as a light luncheon in her Leongatha home.
Okay.
A light luncheon in Leongatha.
Should that be the title of this ep?
Light luncheon in Leongatha. And so the following day after the luncheon, which was allegedly a beef Wellington kind of thing, which, are you familiar with what a beef Wellington is?
Is that like a pot? Like it's like a pastry with meat in it?
Yeah, so it's a roast, a cut of like beef, and around the beef is what you would call a dauphinois, which is usually like a finely cut like mushroom mix with spices and stuff and pastry. And can I also just say, like, I kind of just knew that off the top of my head, so
that was really good. And also my neighbors made that for me one time. It was one of the greatest things ever.
It is. And it's also not I mean, maybe she made it badly, but I mean, it's often on MasterChef, it's kind of not a straightforward light luncheon dish. I would call that like a big luncheon. That's a roast comfort lunch. Food. Yeah, and it's got several stages to it, whether or not she made her own pastry or whether or not she, you know, achieved the perfect rarity of the beef inside. Who can say? Not these people, because three of them are dead, one of them is critical, and one of them is not talking.
Say that, what? Three died?
Yeah, so she had the four guests over, which is the two in-laws and the great aunt and uncle. And both of the in-laws have presented to hospital the day after the lunch with gastro-like symptoms. And sadly, three of the guests have since passed away, with one of them in a very critical condition. And interestingly enough, Erin, who hosted the luncheon and presumably made the food, her and her children, who were also at the home, we don't know what they have eaten or not, but they are alive and well and not sick.
That's crazy! Ah! That's like a smoking gun. Why, if you have a luncheon, aren't you eating the same food and aren't you getting sick? To me, that's like screaming guilty. And you know what I care more about than the facts of the story? What you think, which I hope to get at the end of this recap.
I mean, the other thing is, yeah, there's a lot. And I always think there's probably things that are not made public. Like, so just, it seems, based on the evidence of the symptoms and the, like, testing that the people who are poisoned have gone through, that's where they've deduced that they think that they died by poisoning from what's called a death cap mushroom, which is a kind of mushroom. But I haven't seen any reporting that they've actually found evidence of, like, they didn't find any of these mushrooms at her home. They haven't found like anything really specific that we know of. But I think it seems like there's probably things that we don't know as the public. But there's also just a few interesting things. And of course, John really goes deep with his reporting and he really gathers together everyone else's finds. And allegedly as well, Erin herself did present at the hospital. So, but she was discharged after quite a short amount of time. So maybe to me that says she also went to hospital and maybe she kind of faked a bit of gastro symptoms to like be in the know.
Yep.
Because she was discharged quite quickly and everyone else was like very critical. But also, wouldn't it be sus if you went to have a beef Wellington at someone's house and then they didn't eat the beef Wellington and you did?
Yes.
But so also
weird.
It tells me as well that like they had this luncheon at her house. Maybe they all went somewhere else afterwards and all ate something that killed them. Like that's a possibility. Like they left that, but it's very sus. But there's a few, you know, other interesting things. John has found something. So he said, with excellent snooping, the Sentinel Times published real estate pictures from a previous sale of the home that the luncheon was at.
Yeah.
And it showed a cluster of alarmingly orange mushrooms at the base of a tree. But I don't know if they're death caps and or if they're just like mushrooms that grow.
Uh-huh.
And this is really, I think, where we're coming to a smoking gun. So because there was a lot of mysterious deaths, like they have like done more research. And so there is a social media post from Erin, who is the chef who's alive and well. I keep clarifying because there's so many people in this story.
Yeah.
Her estranged husband posted in the previous year on Facebook. He said, some of you will know that I've had some serious medical problems since late May. I collapsed at home, then was in an induced coma for 16 days, through which I had three emergency operations, mainly on my small intestines, plus an additional planned operation. My family were asked to come and say goodbye to me twice, as I was not expected to live. So police are checking his medical records because having some collapsing things and having to have surgery on your intestines, poisoning alarm bells are ringing for him as well. And what do we know about female killers is that poisoning is a very common way that women kill.
This is unbloody believable. Mushroom. Yeah. Kill poisoning. I just want to like see the faces. Do they have the faces out?
Yeah. So you can Google Erin Patterson and whatnot.
How do you think you can get away with that? Like, yes, they'll be dead, but like it's crazy to think you'll get caught. Like that you won't get caught, sorry, is what I mean.
Yeah. It does seem kind of strange. Like it doesn't but also, I mean, I'm thinking if she was poisoning her ex-husband as well and he didn't die as immediately, maybe she was poisoning him like long term.
Yeah.
Maybe she has, I mean, she obviously, if she did this, which again, yeah, is still only alleged and we don't know, like whether or not it's like she's mentally ill in some kind of way to, yeah, do that. And maybe she was like Munchausen's by proxy, yes, with the husband, poisoning him longer term, which led to these problems.
Is this woman Australian?
Yeah, this is in Leon Gatha, A Light Luncheon in Leon Gatha.
I don't know what Leon Gatha is. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. This is unbelievable. Sorry, I'm just, it's all,
yeah,
hitting me. And just, here's what I want to say. Because like, yeah, to me, the like mushroom thing of like, whoopsie daisy, like, I think it's a normal thing where people accidentally like use something that's poisonous or accident, like, that could have, I don't understand whether it's like, whether it's from her garden or whether it's like whatever, she got the wrong, but to me the like scary part is her not getting sick too, not eating the thing at the light luncheon. That's where it throws me. I'm like, if you, yeah, all got sick accidentally and it's a shock horror, everyone gets sick and dies from this luncheon, that's one thing. And it's like, whoops, accident. Yeah. But it's that part of like, the kids are fine and you're fine. What else is on the menu? Why weren't you eating your like big piece de resistance, probably, meal?
Yeah. Yeah, it's that. Yeah, so that's
and obviously the suspicious part. And did they all eat to 80%?
Did they? And maybe she ate to 80% full of the death cap mushrooms.
And they didn't.
And if they'd all read Ikigai, maybe we wouldn't have this tragedy on our hands. But
shit, this is amazing, crazy. So where do you think this ends? Like, when do we find out? Like, how does this end? Do you think we'll ever know?
I think we should know. I mean, I think we'll wait and see. Like, there's a few more things they're still investigating. I think my suspicion is that the police know more than we do, obviously, whether that is like much more. But the fact that like the mushrooms so specifically, like, and also, I think the kids were in the house at the time. I don't know how old the kids are, but maybe we'll be able to find some more out. And maybe the woman will confess. Also, the critically ill person, hopefully they pull through and maybe they will be able to talk.
Yes.
There's a few more clues in this. A few people are saying so that it wasn't, I mean, while we said, I don't think it's that strange to have your children's grandparents, who were your ex-in-laws, over for lunch, a light luncheon. They allegedly, there had been like quite a bit of tension around the children and, you know, things like custody and access to the children, the grandparents wanting to see their children, and the great aunt and uncle. So he was a reverend, like the reverend was basically there to kind of moderate a conversation about the grandparents having better access to the grandchildren. Because it's like, if a reverend's at the lunch, you know, I mean, but that also, that said, there's a minister at every family lunch for me because he's my brother.
Yeah.
And if everyone dies, and then that's, let it be known that it's not suspicious or Cluedo-esque in any kind of way.
Yeah.
Some families have reverends in them. And
that's just a day-to-day thing for them.
It is. It really is. But also, this is a clue that I love, that there was a food dehydrator found dumped in a local tip about 10 kilometers from Leon Gatha. And they are now conducting tests on this food dehydrator to see if it was used to dry mushrooms. And they're checking CCTV to see who has dumped this. Which, again, I have a food dehydrator.
Nothing to us.
Haven't used it in ages. I might want to dump it anyway. So that might not even be hers. We don't know. But the fact that they've like found that and like linked it, it makes me think that they probably have some evidence that it was hers. And also, you could sell that on Facebook Marketplace. You wouldn't have to dump it at the tip.
Yeah.
So
that's thrilling. To know what comes of those little loose ends is actually really titillating.
Exactly. And so if she had the dehydrated mushrooms, like, they could last for ages. I mean, my only fear is, you know, I hope that this, I don't think anyone should like forage mushrooms unless they're like a serious expert. Like, be careful. Don't like go grabbing mushrooms and eating them. That seems pretty irresponsible. But also, I love mushrooms and I think they're nice. I just hope this doesn't tarnish the like mushroom
reputation.
Yeah. Dried mushrooms too, like a dried porcini mushrooms or dried shiitake mushrooms. You rehydrate them. They create a really rich umami broth that just brings an extra dimension to your food. And maybe that's all she wanted to do, but I think that it seems suspicious.
It seems sus to me, but thank you for the PSA to really, like, even out the playing field for mushrooms.
I do. We do want to be balanced. We do want to be fair and balanced in this podcast. And
we do love to do no research, but we do love to be fair and balanced.
We do. We absolutely do. And so that's, you know, why we need to kind of give dried mushrooms their own shout out. And I really recommend them if you're, you know, making a ramen or a soup or any kind of broth-based thing. They're a great pantry item to have. So... but be careful that they're not the most deadly mushrooms that you can find.
Well, is that about it, my love?
That really is about it. We've got to go. And I mean, well, this episode will come out. I mean, we're not recording it too far off, so there might be more evidence. This story is unfolding. So maybe by the time we're hearing this, we might know more about the mushroom case. And I hope we do.
Me too.
I hope justice is found, both for the lives lost and the reputation of mushrooms.
I only have a few more days of, like, living under even more of a rock than I do, but if you hear anything, you know, if the news gets to you, which it seems it does, if you could get it to me, if you could message me the updates and the clues that you love, that could really keep me in the loop.
Absolutely. I will. I'll be out in the light, unlike a mushroom. But as we must always remember, as John said, that rumors and mushrooms need much the same environment to thrive. And those gossip spores in a fungi-like way, like mold, can spread insidiously, silently, through the wind and into the home where they fester and grow into podcasts that have to end because I'm just saying words. So
I feel like, honestly, when you first said the name of, what's the writer's name? John Alexander or something?
John Sylvester.
John Sylvester. I honestly think you and him would be great friends.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking at him and he's looking me right back in the eyes. We have chemistry.
So just one more time, the wrap up is, please, if anyone knows John Sylvester other than my really well-connected manager, please, please get in touch.
Yeah,
we want to get him on the pod.
What is it about him? I wonder what darkness he has in himself. I wonder what rumors he has.
He would have all the gossip. He's a crime writer. Can you imagine all the gossip he could give us? And the way he would tell us, like, poetic, beautiful, story-like.
Maybe we should just, I think he's written a book. He might, we've done
that. Should we just DM him? Like, let's just DM him.
Not to brag, but I just think we could absolutely get in touch with him in probably about 20 minutes on a business day. Like, that's not, we don't need, like, listeners, if you know him, please reach out. But I don't think we need, like, a fan-based call out to get an age crime writer.
I think we
contact.
Go
like, he Twitter, probably has an right? agent.
Yeah, like, yeah. Twitter or X or whatever. Like, we just message him.
Anyway,
okay, we'll gotta see. Go.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.